Hey, explorers, welcome to episode 311 of the TDR Now podcast. We're the first English-speaking podcast focusing on the Asian theme parks. I was going to say like Tokyo Disneyland, but we're not talking about that today. But, you know, we cover Tokyo Disneyland, DisneySea, Universal Studios, and well, now a theme park in Bangkok, I guess. We'll kind of talk about that today. And you can visit us on our website at tdrexplorer.com and social media, YouTube, all that, all under the same name. I'm one of your hosts, Chris. I am the one that you see on camera all the time on YouTube, usually stuffing my face. And more recently, crying over noodles because they were too spicy. And I have a story about that. And joining us always is the wonderful Patricia.
Hey, guys. I'm excited to hear about everything. I'm Trish. I work with the tourism convention. And I've been busy, oh my gosh, getting ready for the Urayasu Sanjo Matsuri. It's been 8 years and everyone is super, super hyped. So it's really interesting and it's really exciting. We'll probably talk about it in a different episode. But today, Thailand, we have not been to Thailand in like 20 years.
Give or take. That's a long time.
It's a long time. I feel like it's probably changed a lot in that time.
I'd assume so, yeah.
Yeah. But we never tried any of the theme parks, so I'm really excited to hear about that.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to talking about it because I went for IAPA Expo Asia 2024, which was in Bangkok. And just for full disclosure, I was invited by IAPA, so you know, it was all sponsored and stuff like that. So just keep that in mind.
And like really briefly, like, can you explain what IAPA is?
So IAPA is essentially an expo for people in the like themed experiences. I'm trying to paint it like a really wide umbrella, like themed experiences, not just theme parks, but like themed stuff. So like cruise lines, water parks, museums, parks, things of that nature, mm-hmm. like things that involve, you know, theming of some sort or experiences. So yeah. It's not just theme parks and amusement parks, but it's a really big umbrella. So it's a place for professionals that work in the industry to give talks and also for vendors to come on the show floor and show things that they have. So you can, if you're looking to invest in a theme park, you can come here and pretty much like pick and choose all the different manufacturers that you want for building, well, I guess not just a theme park, but like building something. You can find vendors here. It's very business focused, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of interesting things there as well. Like there's a lot of manufacturers that do stuff for like ride vehicles for, of course, Disney, Universal, world famous roller coasters and things that you see in like museums and manufacturers that make like the merchandise and arcade cabinets and anything you can think of. It's there. It's quite the experience. And this one is in, like, this is the Asia version of it. Because the other big one, I guess the main one, is always in Orlando every year.
Oh.
And this one, the IAPA Expo Asia, travels around Asia. So last year was in Singapore, which was the first one after, you know, COVID. And I think before that, it was Shanghai. And mm-hmm. this year was Bangkok. And I think they're going back to Shanghai next year, if I remember correctly.
All right.
Yeah, so I learned some really cool things. Like I went to some of the education talks.
Yeah.
So you kind of get to pick and choose which ones you go to. And there was a couple that kind of caught my eye.
What did you go to?
One that I really enjoyed was IP. Like it was how to work with IP like holders, or like how do you incorporate IP into something? And if that's something you really want to do. So it was people from, it wasn't from Disney or Universal. It was from, it was Beijing, Universal Beijing, and a couple other places. It wasn't Disney though. And they they talked about like, how do you work with like these IP holders? So of course, you know, talking about there's usually rules involved, which I guess makes sense, right?
Oh, for sure.
Different rules and stuff. And like, how do you budget for it? Like, it's very business. Like, it was very businessy.
Yeah.
But I found it very fascinating just hearing like the different stories and stuff of how to work with all these different IP holders. Mm-hmm. And of course, like that stuff costs money. And how do you decide if you want to work with the IP and like choosing which one that you would potentially want to work with? Like one of the things that one of the speakers mentioned was, like Peppa Pig is pretty, you know, pretty popular around the world. However, Peppa Pig wouldn't work in places. I think they said Malaysia. I think that's what they said. Like,
oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
You wouldn't have something Peppa Pig in Malaysia because that, it's just not going to work culturally. It doesn't work. So, you know, there's things like that, that you also have to take into consideration.
Yeah. So
I found that very fascinating to listen to. The other one was guest experience, which, you know, it was just talking about like, how do you go above and beyond, kind of, I guess, very markety kind of stuff. It was people from Hong Kong Disneyland, Shanghai Disneyland, and Universal Beijing. They talked about it, and, you know, giving like power to the employees to make decisions, you know, like the magical moments, as they call them, like things of that nature. We don't need to get into that too deeply. But the one I found the most fascinating was, it was a talk about Ocean Park's Halloween event. Ocean Park is
Halloween.
Is the theme park in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And just talking about the history of it and how it's evolved over time and how they dealt with COVID and things like that. So it was really neat to just see, like, it was done by the person that puts on the Halloween fest.
Yeah.
And they even talked about like attendance numbers and like how much money they spent versus how much revenue they got, like, you know, roughly speaking. And it was a case of the bigger the budget, the less money they got in the end. And they were trying to find a better balance because it was getting a little too skewed. Like, they're spending way too much money and not getting enough back. So they're trying to find a, well, I guess like that was leading up to COVID. Then obviously COVID happened and everything just kind of reset, which is not news. We all know this, right? Like COVID reset a lot of things. So now they're kind of like trying to rebalance how they do everything. Like, how much money should we spend? Like, we don't want to cheap out. Like, we want to make sure the guests have a good experience, but we don't want to be exorbitant as we used to, because we still need to like make money, right? At the end of the day. So it was very interesting to hear from a business perspective, that kind of stuff. And like how they adapted to the local market, which again, I always find that kind of stuff fascinating, like just how things work in different regions of the world, right? Because like things that work in the US don't work in Hong Kong, right? It's just, it's very different. Like one of the scares that they did, I don't think they would ever, like Universal would not do this, especially in the US. There was one of their scare houses or something was to do with, you're put in a coffin. And then eventually, like it was a glass coffin or like a see-through coffin, whatever it was. And the scare actors would come around and everything.
Yeah.
And then eventually like you'd fall out of the, of it.
Wait, where do you go?
There's like a you fall down like a chute or something.
What?
Yeah, it was like intense. Very intense. That's so
interesting. Where do you end up after you fall out of the coffin?
Yeah, like you fall like down like in the basement or something. Like it was just,
whoa.
I don't think you could do that in the US. Like, well, I know in the US,
a theme park, but like in a city, I could see that, like in New York or something like that.
Like, I know in the US and like other parts of the world, they have really intense houses that you have to sign waivers and stuff, but not in a theme park setting.
Not in a theme park. Yeah.
No.
It would be in a themed setting, but not a theme park.
Yeah. But not, like, not a theme park. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it was, again, I just found it very fascinating, and like how they would do some campaigns to like promote it for the year, talking about like they partnered with this huge Hong Kong pop star, and like they made an original song for for it 1 year, and it worked really well to advertise.
Yeah.
And then how they eventually, like how they learned that, they first started off doing, I believe it was just like only the scary stuff is what they started off doing. So it was in the evening, and it was like a separate ticketed event, kind of like Halloween Horror Nights, right? That's kind of how it looks like that's what it was modeled after. But then they found out that people wanted not more, but they found people wanted to be in the park longer.
Yeah, of course.
So instead of just having like, you know, just a regular, like the park is just operating normally and then switches over to horror, what they would do is like during the day, they would have kind of like what Universal Studios Japan does.
The whole
family-friendly Halloween is during the day. And that's, I believe it's included with your ticket. And then there's like, if you want to stay after night, like after it gets dark, it's an extra charge. And then you can stay from day till night and do everything if you wanted to. So that's like the model they've changed to just after like guest feedback and stuff. So I found that pretty interesting. Like how they adapted with that. And cool. I've never done it before, and I really do want to do it. I'm quite interested in that. Maybe this year, who knows?
Yeah, you should give it a try.
Yeah. There was a bunch of other talks, but I didn't have time to do them all. Like there was quite a few. There was one about AI that I was interested in doing, but I had something else at the time, so I couldn't go to it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, there's a lot of good talks. As for like the stuff on the show floor, so they had like a lot of the big roller coaster manufacturers were there, because they're always there. Like Vecma? No, not Vecma. That's Stranger Things. Oh, what are they? Vec? Oh my goodness. I didn't write their name down. Anyway, it's a roller coaster manufacturer. It begins with a V. They've done, I believe, like the Tron Light Cycle Run and things like that. And then there's another company called Sansei Technologies, and they've done like ride vehicles and stuff for like Disney and Universal and things like that. So it's just really cool to kind of just see like the companies behind all this. Because, you know, like these theme parks, like I guess we just kind of go back to theme parks, but, you know, they don't build a lot of these things themselves. They look to other companies, right? Because these other companies are specialized in this kind of stuff.
Like, what are these booths like? Like, what is the setup?
So I guess if you've ever been to like an expo, have you ever been to an expo before?
Yeah.
So I guess they're pretty similar. Like it's a huge show floor and every booth is different and everything. I guess like the big sponsors are usually like front and center, you know, because they're paying the most money to be there. And everything is kind of laid out where in the middle was like all the big ride vehicle type manufacturers or manufacturers that do like water parks and things of that nature were all kind of in the middle. So they had like the big over the top kind of booths and things like that.
Like how are they sharing information? Like, is it like, is there anything you can like experience, or is it like informational pamphlets, or like
it depended on like the manufacturer, the booth. Some of them you can like sit in the ride vehicles. And of course, like usually it was ones that we already know about or things that are not attached to anything. Cause of course they can't show things that, you know, might be under NDA or whatever.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, there's ones where you can sit in the ride vehicles. Some of them have like, like mini prototypes showing like their different types of ride systems.
And cool. Like
products they have. One was a snowmaker. So it was a snowmaker that is like it was making real snow.
I love it.
It wasn't that fake snow stuff. And I saw it, And then they had a pamphlet, and it was like, it's meant for places that have like indoor skiing and things mm-hmm. of that nature. Which I thought, I'm like, you know, I never, like, that makes total sense. I never thought of that, but yes, someone has to make it.
Yeah. Right?
Market for it somewhere.
That's it's so just, like, cool. Very interesting.
And then there was a, they were there last year when I was there in Singapore, a company from China that, they do a lot of the souvenir plates and cups and stuff that you see in the theme parks.
Yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily Tokyo Disney. It was more like the stuff they had displayed was more like Sanrio Puro Land and Shanghai Disneyland and Hong Kong Disneyland. Mm-hmm. It's like all these, like, you know, like plates and cups and cutlery and things that you will find at the restaurants and stuff, which I think is really, really neat to see.
Oh, for sure. What was like the was, most? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, and I was going to say there was a lot of dinosaurs.
Oh my God.
There was a lot of like just like animatronic dinosaurs. A lot of companies from China making animatronic dinosaurs.
I can see that being like, you know, Eurasia has the dinosaur rooms, right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. That's like an animatronic in there.
And there was wild. A lot of like the UFO catcher machines, like a lot of those.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. So there, you know, there's a lot to look at. There really was.
What was like the most impressive thing that you saw there?
Probably there was this ride system that was a VR coaster. Mm-hmm. So you sit in this, like, it's four people to attach, like sitting in this in these seats, and the seat is attached to an arm, and the arm moves up and down and sideways, and it even flips you upside down.
Yeah.
All while you're wearing a VR helmet. So it's like whatever experience they're giving you mm-hmm. while you're sitting in the seat on this arm. It was quite impressive. Like you can have a full, I guess like full VR roller coaster in a mm-hmm. small space.
Yeah. Kind of like Joypolis or something like that.
Yeah. I didn't do it because I know I do not do well with those. I get very sure. motion sick. Like there's no way I was doing it. Absolutely not. There was a lot of water park stuff too.
Oh, nice.
Like just showing like water slides and things of that nature.
Uh-huh.
Very, very interesting. But more importantly, all the food that I ate. Wait. Before we get into the food though, I need to talk about the theme park we went to, the Siam Amazing Park, which is Bangkok's theme park.
Yeah. Was it amazing?
It was an hour out of the city, or it took us an hour to get there. I don't really remember exactly where it was.
Yeah.
But it took us an hour to get out there. And, I mean, it's a park. it feels like a very permanent state fair is the best way to describe it.
All right.
A lot of the attractions are stuff that you'll find at the summer fair, right? Mm-hmm. The spinner rides and things of that nature. So there's a lot of those.
Yeah.
They had a couple like pretty big rides. Like they actually did have a roller coaster, like a hanging coaster.
Mm-hmm.
They had that. I didn't do it because I looked at that thing and I thought, you know what? That's probably going to give me a headache. And someone did go on it that was in our group, and they got a headache afterwards. So I'm happy I didn't do it. and then they had like a log flume ride.
Yeah.
Which was, I really like they had this gigantic, like, I guess like the drop at the end, you come out of like a tiger's mouth or a lion, tiger's mouth. It's very like, it's very campy. And I kind of loved it because it was just like this gigantic mouth with a slide coming out of it. And you just like pop out of it.
Mm.
I thought that was funny. I didn't do it because I didn't feel like getting wet, even though it was a blistering 36 degrees the whole time.
Yeah.
It was way too hot. It was just way too hot. And the park was absolutely dead. And we asked like our tour guide, and they said it's the off season and most of the people that come to this park are locals. So it's not really a big tourist destination.
Which I guess would make sense. 'Cause I feel like tourists don't usually go to like, like Thailand's not well known for.
No.
Like there's so much to do there, you know?
Yeah.
And also, people don't go to theme parks.
I guess for us from the West, like this is stuff that we can see back home, essentially.
You know, probably a lot of people from Asia also go to Thailand, though.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, from a Western perspective, like, I wouldn't think to go there because it's like, oh, those are rides I can do back home. Like, I'll do something that's a little more unique, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
How I would go about it. But then there's also a thing called Bangkok World, which is like a newer area, or like it's separate from the park, but it's in front of it. If that makes sense, it's almost like
an addition or something.
It's almost like a downtown Disney kind of area that you walk through to get to the Siam Amazing Park. So it's it's newer. Area? Yeah, it's like a big shopping area. There's different stuff to do, restaurants and whatnot. Mm-hmm. A lot of it wasn't open though, because again, they were all in the off season, and they had like this one street lined up with like food carts, because you know street food is very popular in Thailand, right? Mm-hmm. And most of them were closed. There was only like two or three things, and it was stuff that I was like, I've had that. Like I had it when I was in like the city center, so I was like, well, I don't really need to get this here. I felt, but yeah, that. It was nice to just tell you. I like going to different theme parks in different areas just to kind of see, you know? I think that's kind of, it's always interesting to kind of do that. But like outside of all that, like outside of the expo and all that, I tried my best to try as much Thai food as I could.
Did you try durian?
Oh, I do not like the smell of that thing. No. I do not. I like that. It was everywhere.
I really liked it. My husband hated it.
I don't like the smell. Like the smell enough will probably make me gag. I know I'll gag. Mm-mm. I did do the mango sticky rice. I've never had it before.
Oh, so yummy. Yeah.
It was so good. Oh. And I did pad Thai. No, it's kind of a quote unquote safe bet. I guess.
Yeah.
And it's also, it was everywhere.
I feel like there's a lot of really good Chinese food in Thailand too.
Probably. I guess I never really thought to look. At the hotel we were staying at, we stayed at the Marriott. Mm-hmm. There was a breakfast buffet, right? So I thought, well, this is a good chance to try like food I probably typically wouldn't try.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Think to try. So at least with the buffet, it's like, okay, I can try a little bit. If I don't like it, it's fine.
Oh, for sure.
So I got some pad Thai, and like I've had pad Thai before. It's like, it's not like I've never had it, but I was more just trying the different sauces, like the spices.
Yeah.
Like, how hot is all this stuff? Cause like that is really red. That is really orange. That is very green. That is black. I don't know how hot a lot of this stuff is, because like I don't usually have a lot of spice with my food. Like I can handle a little bit, but I'm not someone that has a lot of spice.
Yeah.
So I think it was chili oil. Was it chili oil I tried? I don't know. I think it was chili oil. And I put some on my pad Thai and I put too much.
Oh.
So I was the one sitting there at 7:30 in the morning, sweating and crying over my pad Thai because it was just so freaking spicy. it was just too much.
Yeah.
It was good though. I kind of powered through it. Of course,
yeah. Thai food is so good.
What else did I have? Yeah, I had the mango sticky rice, and I had there was a spicy chicken soup. I don't remember what the name is called. Something with like it's a spicy chicken soup, which was really nice. There's another noodle dish I had as well. I don't remember what it was called. That was actually quite spicy as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, the mango sticky rice is probably like one of the standouts. That's a dessert, isn't it? I want to say it's a dessert.
I don't know. All I know is that it's delicious.
And it was like everywhere on the street. It was sold everywhere.
Yeah.
On the street.
There's so much great fruits there too. Like, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I tried all the different fruits, like fruits, because, you know, fruit here is very expensive. So.
Oh, sure.
I always try my best. Like, whenever I travel, like, get out of Japan, I'm going to have fruit and not pay an exorbitant amount for the fruit. So, I can't. I thought I wrote the food down, but I definitely didn't. Whoops.
I think people can imagine, you know.
Oh, the Thai chicken rice. That's what I had.
Uh-huh.
That was very good. Mm. And yeah, tom yum noodles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So good. And because I always do this whenever I travel somewhere, I make a point to have McDonald's once because I just like to see the differences. Like, I just like to see, like, what is unique to their menu compared to other places in the world. Because I find that kind of that stuff fascinating. And yeah. I had this truffle. It was a truffle sauce, black truffle sauce cheeseburger.
How was it?
It was quite tasty. And they had mozzarella sticks on the menu, which I thought was kind of cool. And then I kind of saw this on other fast food restaurants because there's a lot of food courts in like the different malls and stuff. So I kind of like walked around like, oh, like let's look at the menu at all these different places.
Yeah.
There's a lot of places that would have just rice and then like fried chicken, like spicy fried chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the same, like the McDonald's had the same thing as well.
Mm.
Which I thought was kind of neat. And for their condiments, they had tomato paste, chili sauce, which delicious. You can never go wrong with Thai chili sauce. And then it was labeled as American ketchup, which I think is funny.
Yeah.
I guess because it has
it's like the so like much sugar. Yeah.
Sugar in the vinegar, whereas like tomato sauce is just tomatoes. Like there's no vinegar in it or... And it didn't taste sweet either. It was just like just tomato paste, basically. Mm-hmm.
Did you get to do like any other like sightseeing or anything?
I didn't have a lot of time, unfortunately. I wanted to do more. And like mm-hmm. I tried, like when we were done for the day, I would look at, I'm like, okay, I want to go see, was it the Grand Palace? Like I had a long list. I'm like, I want to go see the Grand mm-hmm. Palace. It was way too far away for us.
Yeah.
And it closed at 5 every day.
Yeah.
Which, okay, I guess that makes sense. But by the time we were done everything, it was like, oh, we're done at 4. But it takes an hour to get out there. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to have time to get out there and I want to see it.
Yeah.
So I mostly just like wandered around. I didn't really get to go to like the big spots because they were just like everything was just kind of spread out, I guess.
Mm.
And just like by the time I get out there, it'd be closed.
Yeah.
But like, again, I wasn't really there for sightseeing. Like I was there for the IAPA stuff. So like, I'm not too upset about it. But I 100% want to go back. 100%.
You should. Yeah. It's really amazing.
I really had a wonderful time just with like, you know, the very little I did see. I do want to go back. I kind of like the vibe of it. It's kind of chaotic.
Like oh, for sure.
Very like chaotic vibe.
And everything, yeah.
Which, like, I love that. Like, I love that energy. Like, uh-huh. It's very different from Japan. Like, Japan is not like that.
No, it's completely different.
It's very fun and lively. Like, I really like that.
You have really amazing spas, too.
Yes, I wanted to do one, but just, again, didn't have the time.
Yeah.
I was like, but I was just, like, way too tired. By the end of it. And also And like, I was also networking at the same time. So I like went out for drinks with like people I was networking with and stuff like that. You know, making business connections and all that kind of, all that kind of fun stuff. I did get to see traditional Thai dancing. I'm not sure what it's called exactly. But when we were at Siam Amazing Park, they had like this performance of like different traditional dances, which was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Like people are very, like, very talented. And the dances were quite long.
Yeah.
I'm talking half an hour. Like those performers were on there for half an hour moving around. And like the music was done live. Like there's people singing and stuff. It was very beautiful. I really enjoyed that. While I was eating my mango sticky rice.
Oh, for sure.
the one thing that, I guess like, cause, you know, we talk about like traveling and stuff a lot. Paying for things, I was very stressed about it at first because I wasn't sure like how, like I always get nervous when I have a new currency to learn.
Yeah, in Thailand there's a lot of tipping, so you have to kind of like be like, really aware of that.
I don't have a good sense of like what things cost either. So like when someone says, oh, this is 440 baht, I have no point of reference. I'm like, I have zero idea how much that is, like in, you know, in yen or Canadian dollars or whatever. Like I have no point of reference. It's like, right. That was kind of a struggle for me. I pulled out some cash because I knew I would need it. Thankfully I did, because we did use it for the taxis a lot.
Yeah.
But with the taxis, and I'm so happy that the hotel did this for us, because you kind of, what's the word? Barter? Haggle?
Yeah.
The price? Yeah. There's no way, like, I can't, like, I'm terrible at that. Even, like, places that speak English, I can't haggle to save my life. Like, I just, it's not in my nature.
There's a lot of haggling, though.
Yeah, like, I would be the prime person to be like, this is the price. Like, okay, and I pay it, which is terrible. I know. That's how they get the tourists, but that's just my nature, I guess. So it was very nice that the concierge or whatever knew to haggle the price for the hotel or for the taxi, I mean. So they would say it's this, like they would ask the taxi, like, can you go to this place for this price? And then most of the time they're like, yeah, that's fine. But there was a few times where they tried and then the taxi just left. They're like, no, we're not doing that. Like, okay. Sure. Also, the traffic is very bad in Bangkok. Oh, sure,
yeah.
That's not a secret. It was so bad.
Yeah.
Like, it took us an hour to get not very far. it was terrible. Like, it would have been faster to take the train.
We didn't take any trains when we were there.
Yeah, so they have a metro.
Yeah.
And then also, like, a sky – they call it a sky train. It's called BTS. Anytime I hear BTS, I think behind the scenes or BTS as the K-pop group.
Yeah.
What I think of. Yeah. I ended up using my Wise card to pay for a lot of things because it just worked.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like a different time now. Like when we went, it was like 20 years ago. I think we used like almost all cash.
Yeah. I guess 20 years ago, that would make sense. Yeah. So just the... I thought I'd be using Wise and whatnot, and I used I had an eSIM, so there's no worries there with anything. I ended up when I was like wandering around the hotel, I went into this random mall. I ended up finding an IKEA. It was very strange. Like there's an IKEA on the third floor of this mall. It was like the weirdest thing to me. I was like, I was not expecting to see an IKEA, but okay, there's an IKEA.
Was there any like culture shock moments for you?
The haggling, I would say, is probably one. Like, I just do not do that. Everyone was very friendly, so there was no shock there. Everyone's just very friendly.
Yeah.
Probably the traffic, I think, was probably like the biggest thing for me. Was like this is like it's chaotic and kind of at a standstill, but there's scooters everywhere just weaving in and out of traffic, which just like fills me with anxiety.
Oh, yeah. Just,
like people weaving in and out of like with their little like motorcycles and stuff.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that. There was quite a lot of that. Yeah, I definitely want to go back and definitely do more.
Oh, there's so much. Yeah.
There was a Tim Hortons.
Oh,
at the convention center, like an actual Tim Hortons. No, I didn't go. I was somewhere and I saw someone with a coffee cup, and out of the corner of my eye, I kind of looked at it because it had a sleeve on it, and I looked. I'm like, is that a Tim Hortons cup? That can't be a Tim Hortons cup. That'd be weird. 20 minutes later, what did I find? A Tim Hortons.
Oh my gosh.
So funny.
That's amazing.
I know that, I guess, like, Thailand's very well known for this, and it's kind of like one of those stereotypical things to do, but I did it anyway because I'm like, I've never been before, so I'm going to do this. Mm. Don't judge me. People did it anyway, but whatever. So 7-Eleven in Thailand is well known for their toasties, they're called.
What, so it's
basically
that?
A grilled crustless sandwich. And there's a huge variety of them. So you get ones that are just cheese, some of them are cheese and ham and cheese and sausage and all these different varieties. And they're, mm-hmm. They're all refrigerated. You grab one, you go to the front, and then they actually toast it in a sandwich press for you.
Okay.
And then it's like this triangle sandwich, like it's, well, the two triangles put together, so it makes a square, and mm-hmm. then it breaks apart into a toasted sandwich that's nice and hot. And I got the three cheese one, which was delicious. I guess the cheese and ham is the most popular one.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, that's good. And they had, like, there was a huge mixture of stuff. Like, I even went to one of a grocery store, because I love going to grocery stores in different countries too, just to see, like, how are things laid out? Like, what's where? And I don't know if it was just the grocery store in particular I was in or what, but there was just so much food from, like, different countries in Asia. There was a lot of stuff from China, a lot of stuff from Korea, a lot of stuff from Japan, and there was quite a lot of stuff from, like, North America as well.
Yeah, we got a kick out of seeing all, like, the stuff from, like, because we were traveling from Japan at that time, like, seeing all the Japanese, like, products over there, and we, like, took pictures, like,
Yeah, there's a lot of Japanese stuff. Yeah. they do have Pepsi Max or Pepsi Zero, which Pepsi Zero is not really a thing in Japan. Like, it's, you can find it, but it's very rare.
What is my husband also is, like, very particular about soda. What is the difference between, like, the different, like, Pepsis, for example?
The sugar, I guess, they use.
Okay.
So, like, I prefer the Pepsi Zero stuff. And I guess in Canada, I can't remember. I think it was called Pepsi Max. It's basically just, it's the same thing. I actually prefer it over Coke.
Okay.
I think it tastes better, but you can't really find it here in Japan. So I was very happy to see it in Thailand. So I bought a case and put it in my hotel room.
Oh my gosh.
Because why not?
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, it was great. And I cannot wait to go back.
Oh, for sure.
For more leisure.
Yeah, you should take your time next time and, like, just relax and,
I think enjoy. I would definitely, like, I was only there for, like, three full days.
Yeah.
Two or three full days. So I want to go back for, like, a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that far from here, from Japan. It was like a six-hour flight.
To travel to. Yeah.
Yeah. 6 hour flight. And I think there's, like, a 2 hour time difference. So it's really not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was good. Definitely go back. 100%. Well, before we go, we're going to thank some wonderful explorers over on Patreon who are supporting us. So if you want to support the show, head on over to patreon.com/TDRnow. And a big thank you to Acro Disney Girl, Adam, Amanda C, Amy B, Amy C, Mama Explorer, Benjamin, Brent M, Carrie, Chris B, Claire, Claudia, Dave, David Baker, Kevin, Harry, Marina, Beth, Eli, Abby, Robinson, and Taylor.
And Jamie, Jose, Kathy, Lee, Marie, Michelle, Marie, Sophie, Spoopy, Thomas, Kay, Alexandra, Lizzie, Amy and Andy, Dana, Cassandra, Annie, Sonia, WW Page, Tara, and Gustavo.
If you haven't already, make sure you hit that subscribe button or follow button on whatever podcast app that you are listening to us on. That way you don't miss any of our newest episodes and you can stay up to date and everything. Our explorers, my name is Chris. I don't know where I'm going. My mind doesn't completely blank. What am I going to say here? I am the one that is needing to go back to Thailand, needing to go back to Bangkok and do a little bit more. Oh, and like, I left the day before they started their Pride event because Pride's a big thing.
No, you just one day.
I know. Like, well, I didn't get to choose the date, so it wasn't up to me. If it was, it was up to me, I would have stayed for at least the weekend, but it is what it is. Anyway, joining as always is the wonderful Patricia.
Hey, guys. Yeah, thinking about Thailand has me all nostalgic. Back in our youth. you guys, thank you for listening. And we hope you have lots of fun adventures wherever you are in the world. And let us know, have you been to Thailand? What are your favorite things to do there? Any advice for Chris for his future trip? And yeah, have fun exploring.
All right, explorers. See you in the next one. Bye.
Bye-bye.